Well, he said, you just need to really see more of what's going on and not be afraid. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to see more of you. And I'm just telling you, I'm just going to start telling you stuff. But there was a time during the worship service that an angel just kind of walked right up on the platform between me and Stephen and stood there. And right at that time, Stephen started going, rah! It was snuck up on Stephen. And Stephen was like, rah! All of a sudden, his hands went up, started praising God. Whoa, where's that? I don't know what angel did to him, but it was like, whoo, walked in. You feel this presence like, whoa, there's a holy one here. Do you realize that, how many of you would rather not be like Balaam and like walking into a sword with an angel holding a sword? I don't want a donkey telling me, turn around, you're being stupid right now. I want to see the angel before the donkey sees the angel. Don't you? You know, how many of you know that story? I don't need to explain the story, right? There was a story about this really dumb prophet, selfish guy that was being motivated by money. And God sent an angel with a sword to stop him on the road. And the road was such that it was one of those really grooved, rutty roads where the road got narrow and narrow and the donkey couldn't go to the side. And he was heading right for death. That angel was going to kill him. The donkey saw the angel and went right down to the ground and wouldn't move. The man couldn't see it because he was so... His will was not... His wood was not on the altar, was it?
No. He
was blinded by his greed. Yeah. And so God, out of his mercy, made the donkey talk because he started beating up the donkey. How do you know the Lord is an animal rights activist? Come on, Jesse. Boom. Don't beat that donkey. The donkey said, what are you beating me for? You're the dumb one here. You're the, I don't want to say it. But you know what I mean? That's the joke. You know God likes humor here. Okay, I didn't say it, but you know what I wanted to say. Yes, just read the King James. Okay. All right. Now, what happened? He obeyed God. He bound up his son like Jesus was bound up. He laid him on the altar, and God said, don't kill Isaac. Actually, we're going to redeem him. All right? So it's the principle of redemption. Redemption means somebody else comes and pays the penalty so that you go free. And so God provided a ram in the thicket that ended up taking the place of Isaac. That's what Jesus did for us. We deserve to die. We deserved to die. We were the ones bound in sin. Jesus came and he took the knife of the Word of God, right? The Word of God actually killed his physical body, so that we would be redeemed and we would not be the ones dying. You have been bought with a price. The most precious price that the Father could ever give was his son. You were bought with a price. You don't have to die. He died for you, in your place, so that you could go free. Amen. That's Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's why we love him. That's why we serve him. That's why we follow Jesus. That's why we can receive the grace of God. That's why we can say that God loves us. He proved his love by sending his son. That's how he proved his love. God didn't just say, I love you. He sent his love to you in our place so that we could be free, that we would no longer have the sentence of death on us. We have life. We have life. So can we just thank him for that right now and just put our hand up? Let's just put our hand up right now. Close our eyes. And just, can you say after me? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
that you went to the cross.
You suffered and died.
So that I would not have to die.
You took the judgment of God.
That I would be forgiven.
And Lord, you rose from the dead.
And I rose with you.
And we became one at the cross.
And we will never be parted again.
It's like that song says, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Amen.
Oh, 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 oh.
So now, Lord, you set us free to come off the mountain, and we've set a fire up there. So now what? We've offered the wood. People see the smoke. Now, here's what I want us to decide today. To let our light shine. I really believe this. Okay? I want us to make a decision that we will pray with someone every day about the Lord. Just make that up in our mind. We're just going to pray with somebody. Every day. So I'm trying to change my thinking so that when I go out to a restaurant or if I go to the supermarket, or if somebody comes over to work on the house, then I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to them? Or is there someone that needs to be healed? Or something. An act of kindness. And I just feel like we have to do this. We used to have this on our sign, come and see. And it was taken from the book of Revelation. But as far as evangelism goes, come and see is a response to an invitation. Which means you got to invite someone if they're going to come and see. Because they're not going to find this place unless they are invited. Just not going to do it. So here's what we need. We need to make a decision. I am going to pray with somebody outside the church. I'm going to determine to do it every day. Someone. ask them. Okay, that may be, you see somebody sick, like John, saw somebody hurting. And if you walk around this county very long, I guarantee you'll find somebody is hurting. You're just going to find them. Last Sunday, we went out to the Chopsticks. And I just said, I'm just trusting you, God. You're going to let me speak to somebody. I don't know any of the waitresses there, anybody there. But I said, Lord, you're going to help me. Now, how many of you have heard of starter dough? You can't really make a certain kind of bread unless you have the starter dough, right? Can't make yogurt without starter. Can't make cheese without it. You got to have starter to get sourdough. So I was asking, Lord, give me some sourdough here. Give me a starter thing to get me started with somebody. Okay? And that's what you have to ask for. So I was just kind of, this waitress kept coming in and out. I'm thinking, yeah. The more I started thinking about it, yep, she's the one I'm going to have to talk to. And how do I start this conversation? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just asking the Lord, just let me know. I'm kind of visual, so I ask for signs, and I tend to be prophetic, so I tend to give prophetic words as opposed for healing, and I didn't see anything really that she needed healing about. Now, sometimes God will show you what they need to be healed about. You know, it's pretty obvious. Sometimes it's not obvious. So she was standing right here, and right behind her was the restroom sign. So I'm thinking, rest. God wants to give her rest. That's what it is. That's going to be my starter statement. And I was like, okay, I can do this. So she went, came back. And I'm thinking, I'm going to say it. And all of a sudden she left. Oh, darn. But I knew she was going to come back again. She came back again. And here's what I said. I said, sometimes God speaks to me. And what he does, I just wanted to share it with you. Is that okay if I say something to you real quick? And you don't have to say anything. You got to let people know you're not going to take a lot of your time, because studies have shown that people will listen to you for at least 20 seconds, no matter who they are, stranger. They'll just listen to you. Every salesperson knows this. No matter what you tell them, they're going to listen to you for at least 20 seconds, and they'll make a decision pretty quick in that time whether or not it's worth hearing more. So I just basically said to her quickly, I said, you know, and sometimes the Lord says things to me, and is it all right if I just share this with you? Sure. I said, God wants to give you rest. And that you've been working real, and they said, you're coming into a season of rest. And she goes, wow, you're right. I've been working really hard. And I just really see that. And then here's what happened. And I'll never forget one of Papa Frank's great messages is God opens up little doors to get you to bigger doors. That little starter statement got her talking, because the next thing that came out of her mouth, I've just really been down because my grandmother died. Then she opened up her heart. See? Because I showed a little bit of caring and love of Jesus to her. Then she just opened up her heart. And she said, I've just been really sad. And so I lost my mother. Liz was sitting there. She lost her grandmother. Josh was sitting there. He lost his grandmother and grandfather. So we're like, ooh. She just started crying and weeping. And we just shared love. We loved on her. Just loved on her. Right there. But I got my starter dough. And I cast out the chicken spirit. So everybody has to have authority over the chicken demon. Cast that chicken out. And just open your mouth and ask the Lord for something to get you started with that person. Eat the chicken and throw out the bones. Some people eat the bones. I knew this buddy, Kenny. Everybody knows, those of you who know Kenny Burgess. Kenny Burgess from Eastern Carolina. And he said they ate the whole thing down there in Carolina. They ate everything, including the feet. He's just telling me about chicken, eating chicken feet. Anyway, oh, God bless him. So So we're going to have on Sundays, we're going to take a Sunday out, and we're going to take Sundays and we're going to do prophetic training. We're going to do training for healing. We're going to do training, they call treasure hunts. How many of you have been on a treasure hunt before for God? About two or three people. Well, you're going to learn, and we're going to go on treasure hunts. Art, yeah, I know it is. Vincent, you teach this, okay? So you have to help us out. Acts of kindness will be one Sunday. We'll just come here, and we'll stock up with something, and then we'll go out and just give stuff to people. Now, the one that I've never done before was the artwork, which was really cool because I don't consider myself an artist. And we made greeting cards, prophetic greeting cards, based on what we felt like the Lord was telling us to draw as a picture. And then we gave it to people. And that was really fun. And we'll get Josh to help us with that because Josh is an art teacher. And dream interpretations and tattoo. I've never done tattoo before. But tattoos are, how many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand, have a tattoo. I'm not going to say that. And don't show us it right now, because it may be in locations we don't want to see. But people have tattoos now like you would not believe. And they say that the first couple tattoos usually take place at a very significant life point in their life. That something happened that was significant to them. So many times God will use that as a means to connect with somebody. And God will give you something for that picture that will actually reveal the secret of their heart. That's the whole point. The Holy Spirit opens up our hearts to the love of God. Okay, this is very, very important. So I'm going to give you the three scriptures on the Great Commission. Okay? This is to get out of the wilderness. How many of you want to get out of the wilderness? It's time to not be hidden anymore, right? Yeah. No more hidden Jennies. No more hidden Johnnies. You know, no more hidden Edgars. It's time to be seen. Okay? All right. So the three great commissions in the scriptures. I'm not going to count John. We're going to count the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to start with Luke. Did you get it up there? Were you able to put those last three scriptures on? Luke, we're going to start with Luke, and we're going to look at the three times Jesus said, gave the word go to them, okay? So Luke 24, 45 through 49, write this down. It's something that we just need to be good with. Luke 24 says this. It says, then he opened their minds so they can understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what was written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So the first thing in the Great Commission is to stay until you receive something from the Holy Spirit. Amen. I do not want you to go and not spend time with God first. I'm telling you that I was a lousy, terrible person for Jesus until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't shut up about Jesus. It was just coming out of me like all the time. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we have to do is be committed to pray. It says, what were they doing before the Holy Spirit was poured out? It says they were in one accord in one place praying. Jesus said in Luke, do it. Before I can send you, you've got to spend time together praying. So we need to do that. Tuesday night is our intercessory night. That is a very important night, very important time. Our time here is very important, seeking the Lord and praying together. I feel like I've got more of the Holy Spirit now than what I did when I started the service. Does anybody feel that way now? Yes. You should feel that way. Did you know that it's one baptism, many fillings? Yeah, the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit more than once. And why do we need to keep getting filled? We leak a little bit. Right? We lose a little bit. We need more of God. So it is Bible to say, I want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It's okay to say that, but I don't think we talk about it enough, Ronnie. I really believe that. We don't talk about it enough. Fill us, Lord, afresh today. I want a fresh filling. I want more of God. I want to have the Holy Spirit more. I want a fresh filling here because good stuff happens after we get it. So that's the first thing with the Great Commission is to stay. Now, we go to Mark 16 and verse 15. And then Jesus says, go. Then he says, go. So you stay first, then you go into all the world and preach the good news, and whoever believes and baptizes will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And notice that the emphasis of Mark is signs and wonders. You got that? It's all about signs and wonders. So you go and do signs and wonders. Look, what kind of signs and wonders? Speaking in new tongues, casting out demons, picking up snakes with your hands. You know who likes to do that? She's not here. But that guy's little girl right there. Jimmy. Jimmy's girl, Angel. She loves to pick up snakes. She learned that from you. She sees a snake. She's like, don't kill it. I want to pick it up. Is that you too? Yeah, well, he's just doing the gospel right there. Berg is like, ah! Now, I'm not saying go any drink any poison, but it says if it happens, if someone tries to poison you, it won't harm you. And if you place your hands on sick people, they will get well. Amen. So this is the go of signs and wonders. Amen. The go of signs and wonders. So you stay to get filled. You go to see signs and wonders. And you know what the Lord showed me the other day that I never emphasized? Look here, I'm going to read it a little differently. See if you can catch what I'm saying here. Look at verse 15, is it? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany the preachers. Yeah. Do you realize that signs and wonders are for believers, not for the preachers necessarily? You hear what I'm saying? The emphasis is on the people that you speak to. They're the ones that are going to get the signs and wonders. So you go out and you meet somebody. Hi, how are you doing? Amen. And then they're the ones that get the signs and wonders. It's not about you getting signs and wonders. Amen. It's not about you chalking up signs and wonders on your signs and wonders belt.
That's right.
It's not about you getting miracles. It's about them seeing miracles. They're the ones that believe. They're the ones that cast out demons. They're the ones. So you get them casting out demons right then and there. You get them praying for the sick themselves. Lay hands on yourself. And you'll see God move. I never saw it that way before. I saw it like, you know, the preachers go out there and they're the ones that are going to, you know. And it's true, but it's not really the emphasis. Now let's go to the last one in Matthew 28. And this is the first thing you do is you go to prayer meetings or you pray. The second thing you do is go out and believe God for signs and wonders for other people to experience. Prophecies, healings, deliverances, miracles. All right. Then the third Great Commission is in verse 16. They went to the mountain where Jesus told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. So the third thing you do is you make. You stay, you go, and then you make. You make something. What do? You make disciples. Notice that what it is you're doing there is you're baptizing them and teaching them. So that's why it's important for you to tell them about going to church. You hear what I'm saying? If you just pray for them and they just get healed, you're not making a disciple, are you? No. You're not. You're just doing the encounter part. But then if you turn them loose, how can they become a disciple? Right? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone who you've invited to walk with me. That's a disciple. So a disciple is someone who's who is baptized. And if they're not baptized, baptize them. We had revival. Why should I be talking about this in college? But we had revival in college. We baptized people in bathtubs. We had no church to take them to. Back there was, you know, like there was no Baptist churches in the part of New Jersey we were in. Was there? Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. It was. Yeah. Yeah. But we would just take them to the pond, or we'd use bathtubs on campus. But we were making disciples then too. You hear what I'm saying? We weren't just seeing people get touched. Now that's something I don't do enough. I need to do that more. I need to do that more. I need to say, you know, come on with me to church. Come on, let's hear the word of God. Let's get baptized. Let's get ourselves established. And notice the issue is authority here. It's not faith. It's so much, it's the fact that God is setting up something with kingdom implications. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. There's a purpose for you. And I there many times the Lord, I tell you what, that's one of my motivational gifts. Is to help people discover the purpose of God for their lives. I mean, that's just one of my motivational gifts. I want to see people step into what God wants for them. Amen. And you know what? Maybe there's a reason why. When I was growing up, I had a really good music talent. And people... When you have a music talent, people put their ideas on you. Vincent, do you understand that? You've been there, right? So they see, oh, you're so talented, so I want you to be this way, or I want you to be this way. And I went to music school, and I went there because God wanted me in music school. But I also had this, when I fell in love with Jesus, I wanted to serve the Lord. So I know I disappointed some people because I didn't fulfill their idea of what I should do with my life. Exactly. But people don't think about that, do they, Stephen? They just try to put it on you. So my teachers and these different people, oh, yeah, John, he became a Jesus freak. Jesus freak, that's the term we had back then. You were a freak. Freaks were the ones who did pot in the hallways. And then there were the Jesus freaks. And I was a music freak. That's what we called it back then. And then, oh yeah, John, he was the one that, we go to reunions, he was the one who became a Jesus freak. And I just really believe that God wants purpose for our lives. So it's important, once we pray for somebody and bless them, to ask the Lord, tell them, you know, do you go to church anywhere? Now, you don't want to pressure them in a sense that you don't want people to think that you're just merely trying to get them to come to church. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I want you to know there's the other side of that, so that it's very, very important as you pray for people that you're not just praying to do it so that you can feel good about yourself, or that you're just trying to get them to do something, because people will sense that if they're trying to be sold. You have to show that you really, really love them. And you do. Express the love of God. So we're going to be doing some training on Sunday mornings.